This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Whip out your joystick and get ready to give it a wiggle. You're here with Joy Drive's monthly video game gossip with Elliot Attard.
Elliot, good afternoon.
Hello, Warren.
How are you?
Good. I am.
I don't get a hello this afternoon.
No, I was doing one by one.
One by one.
I like that. That's nice. Hello, yeah. Elliot.
Because I'm sure you two are so like used to being lumped in as like a single kind of phrase.
It is pretty funny.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
M and Warren. It's like a couple name, basically.
You can't say Warren and
Warren.
M
Warren.
It doesn't work.
But I wanted to give you an opportunity to have your own.
Thanks
hellos.
So much, Elliot. That's so kind.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You are our video game expert.
Sure.
You've given us homework, but we're going to get to that in a moment.
That's right.
You're laughing, and I would. But before we get to that, what's new in gaming generally?
Yeah, I'm so keen to be here like on a almost monthly basis to chat about video games. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. Oh my God, there's always things happening in the gaming space. Like, for instance, we've just recently heard there's a big kind of expansion coming from a massive game that released last year called Elden Ring that everybody's talking about at the moment. As far as like kind of queer news, they actually at Sydney Mardi Gras, Microsoft had a Pride-themed Xbox Series X, which is super cool. It looked amazing, and they are auctioning that off at the moment for a queer charity.
When you say Pride Series, so what, it was coloured?
Yeah, so basically it was an explosion of colours and different kind of Pride flags and stuff. It looks pretty cool, but also like it was a lot. It was very hectic.
How much do you think someone is going to purchase it for?
Well, they only made one, so I'm guessing it will sell for a decent amount. Hopefully, it goes to a lovely queer home that can keep their little Xbox and be very proud of it.
When we say decent, though, do we mean like
I don't know.
1,000, 100,000,
no.
A million? Like how?
No.
Oh, okay.
I am guessing between the former and the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I honestly wanted to talk about something a bit more bizarre that happened recently, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
I even provided you a link, Em, if you want to have a look at it yourself. Because,
you know what? Let's do it.
What's popping up?
Because in gaming news, there was a video game by the name of The Witcher 3, which had this massive next-gen update very recently, and that update accidentally added realistic vaginas to the video
really?
Game.
How did this happen accidentally? I have so many
and
questions.
And why do you need them?
Well, you don't need them, Warren. You and I know that for a fact. but so this game was one of the biggest RPGs of kind of the
what does
last,
that mean?
Role-playing game. Okay. They're kind of like these big adventure games with lots of stats and lots of weaponry, and you can deck out your character. It's kind of role-playing, right? Uh-huh. But bring that out of the bedroom, bring it into video games, and that's what The Witcher 3 was.
Ah.
Yes.
Got it.
And this game got a kind of a substantial overhaul, an upgrade, and players started playing and was like, hang on a second. Turns out that there was the female characters that had full frontal nudity in the game came complete now with neatly trimmed landing strips and visible labia that they never had previously.
What did they have before? Was it just a...
It was just a bit more of a bump, a bit of a blur.
Like a mannequin.
Sure.
But I don't understand how this happened accidentally.
I accidentally...
Yeah, whoops. Like it seems like that's something someone would have had to have been like, okay, I'm going to do this.
Well, that's kind of now where the rumors start. Yeah, that's where the mystery comes in. Because, the statement made by the developer CD Projekt Red was that it was a mistake. They used a lot of kind of community content to kind of upgrade their game, a lot of kind of what they call mods, mod content. So the players kind of create their own stuff, put it into the game, and they took some of the best content and added it officially for this patch. And they were like, oh, well, I guess the realistic vagina mod accidentally slipped its way in there. But, I mean... I don't know how that mistake happens without somebody willingly doing it.
I'm sure it's not a mistake.
Yeah, well, that's the thought. But they are saying they're going to remove it from the game. So if you want to check out a realistic labia,
quick,
you've only got a few days.
You've got minutes potentially. But that's what's happening in gaming.
Can we get on to Saganaki Go Straight to My Heart?
We can. It completely butchered the name of this video game.
I forgot the name. It's I was on the plane and I thought, I'm going to play it. I couldn't remember the name of it and I didn't have it downloaded on my particular device. And I was messaging our producer going, because we had Wi-Fi, I was going, what's the name of it? What's the name of it? And was it Saganaki or something like that?
No, but it's not. Well, the game is called Sayonara Wild Hearts. So for those who were listening last month when we did this first original segment, actually it was back in January now, when we did the first original segment, I set you the task of being non-gamers and playing a video game for the first time in a while. It's a game by the name of Sayonara Wild Hearts, a game that was available on a lot of platforms I thought would be really accessible and hopefully a good ground, like a starting point for you to play, especially because it's so music-driven and so upbeat and fun, and that kind of is Joy's vibe as well. So
good
the
choice.
Question has to go to you two. What do we think?
I loved it aesthetically. It's got like a very heavy pink, purple, neon kind of feel to it.
Absolutely.
So aesthetically, I loved it. Also, I loved the element of music because essentially you're like playing an album. Mm-hmm. You're like doing each track has like a different kind of game thing that you're doing.
Correct.
I found it really interesting and I don't know if it's because I didn't look into it, but like they don't really explain as you go through each level. They don't say, oh, you know, in this level you have to beat the bad guys and try and you just have to kind of figure out how to use the game. So I feel like, is everyone just game literate now?
I found that too. I started playing it and I started playing it on an iPad and I found that difficult, and then on the laptop with the keys it was much better, but I was just banging trying to work out what to do, and then I was searching for help. I was looking for instructions. I couldn't find anything, and eventually I sort of figured out what you've got to do, but I was expecting some sort of, you know, press here on how to play the game.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I guess there is this element of video game literacy that they just assume people have this ground kind of knowledge coming in. And I mean, hopefully it was easy enough to figure out.
It was. It was faster. I've got to admit, though, as I got through the levels, the first couple of levels, I was like, oh, okay. And I ran into a couple of trams and things. But by then,
as you do.
I think by the third and fourth level, I was really getting into it. I could see that. I could feel the sort of little rush starting to happen as I was going around trying to collect all these hearts. And, oh, no. And I was yelling out.
That's
and,
video game addiction.
Yeah, it was starting to happen. I could feel this.
All the endorphins start firing. You're like, I can do this.
But did you get past bronze?
Never.
No, neither
never.
Did
I got so essentially in this game you do these tasks and you have to you know maybe ride a motorcycle or a car or a VR glasses. There's like a bunch of different things and the aim is to get points, and then the points are ranked. So there's like bronze, silver, gold. Obviously gold being a lot of points, bronze being the least amount of points you can get a medal.
No, bronze. I was bronze.
I would get no rank.
Oh, you got no rank.
Like, I am so
bad. I thought they
bad.
At least gave us bronze. No, I thought they were being nice.
No, I got no rank so many times.
My highest score was 9,778 for Heartbreak 1.
Did you write that down? You came with that memorized?
No, I wrote that down.
That's good.
I did get up to tens of thousands.
So you must have got a higher rank.
No, because when you get more into the game, you have to get more points to get a bronze.
Oh, okay, right. Okay. So,
no rank for me.
Yeah, but what we're excited for, Em, is when the next games start getting introduced, you're just going to get better and better at gaming.
Well, you know, there is that. I do feel like even from when I started to when I got to, like, the bit I'm up to now, I do feel like I kind of understand it a little bit. But I will tell you this, I absolutely hated the twins. There were these, like, twin bad people that could, like, change, like, flip the script of the road and stuff. I don't know how to explain it properly. Gaming!
Yeah.
But no, you're doing a good job. I hated them. They were the worst.
Aww,
it's a no from me.
You know, you can't love every element, I guess, of a game.
No.
I think the twins you're supposed to hate a little bit.
Yeah, well, they're the bad people, right? The other thing that was really funny about this particular game, you know, part of the reason you chose it for us, Elliot, is because it has this musical element and each round is like a song. If you die so constantly and consistently, what you're hearing in your headphones is just like da 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 da, because it'd be the same bit that I kept dying in. So I'd hear the song
because it goes back to where and let you do that again. Why does it do that? So if you as I'm saying, if you do die doing something, like I hit the tram, drove into the tram a few times, I had the opportunity to drive into it again. Straight away, like it would repeat.
Well, you're supposed to not make the same mistake. But then that's is the idea, Warren.
But then that's telling us. Like, I feel like you know, it's sort of like, it's okay, this is what comes up.
Mm-hmm.
You stuffed it up. It's exactly the same thing coming up again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, where's that?
Well, it's an opportunity to correct your past mistakes. Okay. Yeah.
I kept doing the same thing again and again.
Same. That's why the song kept literally just being the same bit, just like getting cut off every time, like on a loop. Eventually, though, they go, do you want to skip this part? And you go, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't go to the next song until you complete the one song.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. My only criticism was the instructions.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I think a lot of games are kind of deliberately vague. They kind of want you in the universe of the world. Yeah, figure it out. It's a bit more powerful that way. But for some people, for sure.
Let's imagine it from a developer's perspective. I mean, writing the user manual is not going to be the most exciting thing, is it?
No, but that's somebody's job, you know? No, everybody can't do the fun stuff, like writing the music. But I don't know. Was it a positive experience, like, overall?
I will say this. We're chatting to Elliot Attard from Checkpoint about Sayonara Wild Hearts. It's a game you can play on Apple Arcade.
Pretty much everywhere.
Pretty much everywhere. Yeah. And I will say this. I was playing it on the tram with my phone and my headphones, and typically, well, all the time, my tram takes about 50 minutes. And yesterday when I was playing it, I feel like my tram ride took like 12 minutes.
There you go.
That's it.
The time just went gone.
I've got another question.
Yeah.
What sort of equipment should we be having to play this game? Like, is it because I found using my little arrow keys on my laptop was annoying after a while. And I was thinking, do I do it with one hand? Do I do it with two hands?
Oh, I mean, the game is pretty much available anywhere you want. So it has touch controls for mobile. It has, as you said, you can use kind of like a keyboard control, but you could also plug in a controller. It kind of just depends.
Right.
Like it's one of the reasons I chose this game. Like, you can play it anywhere with anything, like kind of whatever suits and fits your style.
Okay.
Yeah.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I had fun.
Yeah, I really liked it as well. I'm not going to lie. There were moments of frustration because I'm really bad at it, but it did have enough of a storyline, and the music was really cool, and I loved the color scheme and I loved the aesthetic, that it was fun to play and it was really engaging because, like I said, I didn't even notice my tram ride, you know, basically at all.
And remember, we're both new to gaming.
Yes. Well, and I'm also excited to hear this kind of feedback because it helps me kind of dictate what's coming next.
Yeah, we're terrible at it. So if it's just a game where you don't have to do anything, that would be ideal.
All right. Got it. Noted.
What's our homework for next month?
Okay. So I've got you sorted. The next game we're going to play is a game by the name of Gris. Now, this is spelt G-R-I-S for anybody who wants to play along and look this up. It is developed by a Spanish studio by the name of Nomada Studios. And Gris is, I mean, it's got some of the most breathtaking, like, hand-drawn visuals you're going to see. It is a 2D game, which means you, similar to Sayonara Wild Hearts, you won't have the overwhelming kind of 3D kind of movement and exploration that can kind of come with some of those titles. The game is almost completely free of text. It's an example of a kind of game that I really adore where it's got this strong kind of storytelling, but it's done completely wordlessly, which is amazing for accessibility because it doesn't matter what your kind of, you know, literacy level is or what language you speak, right? Like, this game can be played by anybody. The game's narrative revolves around a young woman exploring her own inner world. So there's a lot of kind of themes of kind of mental health as well. It's all played on a 2D plane, as I said, very easy to navigate, even for beginner gamers. I'm excited to see how easy you two find it as, like, very, very beginner gamers. And importantly, it's also completely free of danger or death.
Oh, that's good for me.
So it's not a game. It's less likely to frustrate, I would say. And, you know, there are some light puzzling and platforming elements in this game, as well as some optional skill-based challenges. So they're kind of there if you want to dip your toes into more kind of gamer territory. But outside of that, it really just kind of help you. It just gently introduces you to kind of new game mechanics and pushes you along without ever kind of being arduous. It's also only 3 to 4 hours long, so I think you'll be happy you can kind of knock
three
this trams. One out.
Three trams and I'm done.
So it's called Gris, G-R-I-S.
Correct.
What do we need, any special equipment to play it? Can anyone play it?
Anybody can play it. PC, it's on Xbox consoles, it's on PlayStation consoles, it's on Nintendo Switch, it's on Android devices, and it's on iOS devices, including Apple Arcade, which is, I know, is how you played the original game, Sayonara Wild Hearts. So, you can continue that subscription, pick up Gris, and have more fun.
If, Elliot, if you do want to make, I suppose, the gaming experience a little bit more ergonomic, what do you need to invest in? Like, what would be the first step in terms of, you know, you're using your laptop or what have you, but you want to make it a little bit more comfortable to play than having to use two little fingers?
Sure. I mean, if you're playing on the go, there aren't that many options, right? So, if you're doing it on your tram ride or whatever, then you probably are either going to be on a laptop or probably even more likely a mobile phone or iPad or whatever. Now, there you can get like controllers that actually plug into your phone, but I don't know that you want to be the kind of person who is sitting on, you know, your phone with a controller plugged into it. So it really depends like how you're playing. If you are playing at home, Warren, the quick answer to that would be just to plug in a mouse.
Okay.
And you know, you can just have a lot more freedom that way and a lot more control. But for people wanting to get into gaming and willing to kind of put a bit of money into a gaming console, that's probably even comfier. You just have your console, you can download your games on that, and you have your controller, and you can play it on your couch or wherever.
Can't wait to play it. Greece, G-R-I-S.
Mm. And the game that we played this previous month was Sayonara Wild Hearts, which is available almost anywhere.
Yes.
Elliot Attard, thank you so much for joining us on Joy Drive.
Thank you.
Don't forget, we can catch you Saturday on Checkpoint 2 to 4 p.m.
That's correct. Yeah, come fantastic listen to gaming. Elliot.
Thanks so much.
Woo. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.